Well, it's good to be awake. It's a pretty exciting time when you bring out a new book and sort of tour around Australia and having some interviews with some of the legends and icons of our country. So, yeah. And how's everything in Bendigo, mate? Good?
All very, very well here. Yeah, thanks, Kev. Now, tell me, how did the germination for the book come about? What made you think of doing this?
Well, I put it in the book. I was talking to a group of 30 to 40-year-old people at a conference and about, you know, coping with changes and all that. And I said, well, you know, some of the people that inspired me were people like John Bertram and basically Margaret Court and, you know, Kathy Freeman. They didn't know who I was talking about. So I thought to myself, well, if we are going bad, well, they knew Kathy Freeman a little bit, obviously, but not good on Goolagong or, you know, people like Rod Laver and Lionel Rose, these sorts of people. They knew Jessica Watson, who I interviewed, but it just stunned me a bit. You know, I thought, well, maybe. So I did a little interview about, well, what about this person and what about that person? And did you know where, you know, the shark, Greg Norman, come from? Oh, no, Sydney, or, you know, Pat Rafter. No, like, well, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, they both come from Mount Isa, which is a mining town up in northern Queensland. So, you know, they didn't know much about iconic sort of people that had done fantastic adventures for Australia on the field of sport.
Yeah.
So I thought I'll do this book and get it out there.
When you look at the list of them, though, and I mean, every one of them is just brilliant, but you could have probably compiled a list 200 strong, do you think?
Oh, yeah. No, I will honestly have to do another book. Like, I love Richie Beno and, you know, obviously Dennis Lilly and these people. And there's so many other people, like even another tennis player or two that should be sort of said and spoken to about their efforts because, you know, you're trying to define the spirit of Australia in a book on the field of sport. And you've got to start somewhere. And I wanted a good mixture between each decade. There'd be two or three, sometimes maybe four from one decade and two from another decade. So you get that 60 years in of my life because really probably this started around about the 50s in the Olympics when Melbourne got the Olympic Games.
Yep.
And that was one of the key errors about why this city and this state are such a mad sporting state, I think, was the 56 Olympics. And people like Cuthbert and people like, basically, you know, Dawn Trays and so forth, they were just sensational. And, of course, we only had probably 9 million people in those days.
Yeah.
And we were up there in the top 10 or 8 in the world for medals.
To me, it's always the backstory that's the really interesting thing. It's not necessarily whether they won the 100 metres. It's those sort of things that are the really fascinating part of how some of these people develop, isn't it?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, look, Debbie Flintoff, who's the daughter of a Richmond board member, Les Flintoff. I followed her career since she was probably 3 years of age. And for her to win that gold medal, I mean, she was behind all the way. She was sixth at the halfway mark. Very hard to catch up. Six positions in 200 metres in 400 sort of hurdles, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And she won on the last step. So I used to replay that to the players that she never, ever, ever, ever give up. And we ended up winning, and I remember showing the players, but I carried my tapes around like a toolkit, showing the players when we had the greatest comeback ever against North Melbourne in about 2001, I think it was. We were 11 goals down. And I said, look, we're catching up here. We're a chance. If we're somewhere near the ballpark at three-quarter time, we can win the game. And then they won the game, the boys. Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's out of a fantastic effort by Debbie Flintoff in say the mid 80s in the Olympics.
Is there one, Kevin, that gets the nod in your mind or in your heart a wee bit more than the others? Is there a number one standout?
Well, some of them, a couple of the iconic moments, like going out the bat with a broken jaw in Rick McCosker.
Yeah.
That's a moment.
Yep.
And Cliffy Young, that was just another moment. I thought, how could a 60-year-old plus guy going to beat these professional athletes, Sydney to Melbourne? Well, he beat them easily.
Yes.
He beat them easily. So they were sort of iconic moments, but you'd have to think Lionel Rose going to Tokyo after being left out of the boxing team in the Tokyo Olympics in 1964. He goes there in 1968 and beat Fighting Harada for the world title. I mean, just a little kid, little Aboriginal boy, out of the backtracks of between Warragul and Drillin. So that's just an incredible story. When, you know, probably the one that I think basically think Bertram and I reckon Bertram and the boy from Catherine, Cadell Evans, were incredible stories.
Yeah.
He beat the America in the America's Cup, first time ever, and opened the door for other countries to believe they could do it. And that's what's happened since. And I think Cadell Evans, he was born in Catherine, in the map I put in the book, born in Catherine and wins the Tour de France. I think they're two of the greatest efforts I've ever seen.
Sheeds, I could talk for hours, but unfortunately time is against us. But it's great to talk to you. The Icons of Sport, fantastic looking book. I've got 3 weeks off over Christmas. That's going to be my Christmas reading. Looking forward to that. Maybe with a glass of red in one hand as well.
That's what you do. You have a browse, two or three chapters. You have a nice read. Look, mate, you can do anything after a COVID. We'll get out of this and we'll enjoy our country again like we used to.
Kevin Sheedy, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Mark. Great to be on the Wake Up Call.